Turn with me to Genesis chapter 16, verse 15. That's right at the end of where I stopped last time. And I was encouraged because I've told you before, I love this British guy named Simon Ponsonby. And Simon, the church that he is one of the rectors at is serves Oxford. And so he's a really good teacher. And so his teaching last week was on Terran, on the father of Abram. So I went, wow. And do you ever have times where you bite your tongue for no particular reason? Yes, I've bitten my tongue a second time this morning. Well, anyway, so and I may bite it some more. So I kind of want to talk and stick my tongue anywhere except where it goes. So I'm a humble, desperate person. Lord, we thank you for being here in our worshiping and song. We ask you to anoint your scriptures for whoever. And beyond that, we ask you to visit each of us in a personal way and a message for each of us that has nothing to do with what I say. If you will visit us, we all need a relationship with you that's current, and we would like it to be on this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, we pray. I'm taken with how Scripture. I'm a Southerner, and I'm from around here, and I've been raised in churches around here, and I sometimes wish I was been raised in a church somewhere else that taught me to appreciate history and the history of this book. This book is a collection of 66, we call them books, writings, and they span about 2,100 years. They're like three different languages, three or four continents that they're written on. And yesterday, if you and I had gone to synagogue, at some point during their worship service on Sabbath, they would have opened up their copy of a scroll that was beautifully ornate, and they would parade it around their sanctuary. And it's the Torah, the first five books that Moses was given. And it's touching to see them kind of reach out and just want to touch it before they go put it back in the cabinet sort of that they keep there. Hey, Katie, why don't you come up here? Why don't you come this way? Just come, Katie. Nothing. You were born. Hi.
Hi.
Guess what?
Yeah.
You're graduated.
Yeah.
You have graduated or?
Yeah, I just graduated, not this past Friday, but the Friday before.
Okay, so that means that we'll probably see you at a fast food restaurant next, and that'll be
Yeah.
your next part of life.
Actually, yeah, I'm considering working at a coffee shop.
It's good. So we just wanted to bless you for a minute.
Thank you.
As a family. And Lord, we thank you for Katie. We thank you that you let her be born at this time and place, and we have a relationship with her. And we want her to be in the dead center of your road, of your will for her to be on. And as she gets in a ditch, just get her out of the ditch and put her back in the middle of the road. And Wimber used to tell us all the time, fate is spelled RISK. And if anybody is a risk taker, you are a risk. risk taker. You stay who you are and just walk it out, and we're proud of you anyway. And the more times you fall down, the more prouder we are, because you get back up. She is, isn't she? And she'll try anything. And I personally love it when you start dancing. Not that you have to dance all the time, but sometimes when you start dancing, I don't want to look your way, because it's between you and God, and it's a real personal thing. And he loves that. So if the rest of us would just be whatever we're supposed to do, like you do whatever you're supposed to do, our dad would really be happy. Happy graduate person on Mother's Day. I can't get out of it. Yeah. Kids, yeah, you need some kids to go that way. It's probably going to get noisy. They've got a red runway set up with lights over there. So, and food. You remember that Sarah gave... you know, culturally, children are really important to all cultures, but to the Jewish culture, it's a really, really big deal. And Sarah is about 85 years old, and she's never had a child, and she, in her mind, is long past anything. But God has told her husband that he's going to be a father of multitudes, like the stars in the sky. And she wants to help in a way that makes sense to her. And so she takes her Egyptian handmaid and says, here, I'm going to give her to you as a wife. And maybe this will fulfill things. And of course, she's going to have a baby. And things go on. God tells her to name him Ishmael. God hears. And so the end of the chapter there at 16, New American Standard, verse 15. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. He's 86. Now, Sarah is at this point 76. She's 10 years younger. So she's 76, and her plan worked, but it's really a painful plan, to the point that she drives Hagar away, and God says, no, Hagar, go back. I'm going to use this. So chapter 17, you know, this was divided into chapters and verses by a monk a long time ago, but it's really just one big long running thing. But that division in our breaking it down, chapter 16, verse 16, and we go to chapter 17, verse 1, it says, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. 13 years have gone by. 13 years of regular living, 13 years of the clocks ticking. Ishmael's growing up. Ishmael's gone from a baby to a toddler to a little boy saying no to everything to being a young man. He's 13. 13 years has gone by, and God shows up. Abram is 99 years old. And the Lord says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty, That's a really good opening line. That gets you on the right page and gets things going the right way. Walk before me and be perfect, be complete, be blameless. I'd go, have you got the right person? You know, I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Now, he's told him this stuff already years ago. He's a couple of different times. You know, he's told him when he was 75. You know, he's told him even before he's 75. Sometime back in Mesopotamia, we have in the New Testament, I meant to look up the verse, God has, it says, spoke to him. So he goes with his dad, and they travel up to a place that's in we call it Haran, the name of his brother who died, but actually the name comes out to be meaning the same thing, and that's why we call it that, but it's spelt differently and stuff. And so maybe his dad just thought, this is a sign, I'll stay here. His dad, you know, they worshiped the moon. His dad was real good at making idols. They stayed there. They didn't go on. But God's already told him to leave your people and go on. But he stays with his dad. His dad lives to be 205 and dies. And then God reinforces this again and says to Abraham, well, he's not Abraham yet, to Abram, I want you to leave your people and go where I tell you to go. So he goes down, you know, as we know, he goes to Cana, he and his wife, and they don't have any children, and Lot, their nephew, goes with them, and the story had gone on and moved on, and they go down and live in Egypt for a while because there's a famine. They come back. They don't own any property there, but they have a lot of property. They just travel around and live in tents and stuff. You know, he took him outside and showed him the stars one night and said, you're going to have children like the stars of the sky. And it said that Abram believed God, and it says that God counted that as righteousness. He believed him. He had faith in what God said. I'm sure in his head, some part of him didn't know how this is going to happen, but I believe what God is telling me. This, the evolution of Abram, a moon worshiper, to having encounters with the Creator more than the moon, the one who's made everything, who has picked him and has told him nothing that he did, just picked him and told him, I'm going to make you a father of so many people that you can't count them. But life goes on. It doesn't start the next day. It doesn't start in 15 minutes. Life has gone on. He's got a 13-year-old boy that's half Egyptian now. You can connect with that, can't you? Cool. Really cool. Verse 3, Abram falls on his face. God talks with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant, my agreement, my contract is with you. And you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called High Father. Your name shall be called Father of a Multitude, Abraham. I'm changing your name. Now, nothing, he's got one boy. But God's already saying, this is not over yet. There's more coming. We said that. Verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. That's big, heady stuff. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. This has never changed. This will go on until there is a new heaven and a new earth. this was the beginning of this. God said it. We didn't. We're just going, we don't even have to say what's going to happen. It doesn't matter. God's telling what's happening. It not going to happen, is happening. Verse 9, God said further to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you." It's almost like he's stalling, like, you might not like what I'm going to tell you to do. "Every male among you shall be circumcised." Now, other nations nearby are also practice this, but God is giving them something to do. "And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and you shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you, and every male among you who is 8 days old," hold on to that little phrase, "shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants, a servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised, and thus..." Boy, my tongue could really help right now. "Thus shall be my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people because he has broken my covenant." So this is a big deal. This is the parts of the contract. Everybody that lives under your roof and is in your, you're going to all be like this. And the day that you're going to do it is on the eighth day. Now, God had set up already that he worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, he declared it to be a day of rest. Sabbath would be the day of rest. So, the day that they circumcise the boys is on their Monday, sort of, the first work day. The eighth day, which to us is the Lord's Day. Now, every so often I go over that whole little thing with you, and as short as I can is, you know, the Hebrew letters. The letters also have numerical numbers to them. So does Greek, Koine Greek. And if the name for Jesus in Hebrew, if you total up the letters of his name, they equal 888. If you take his name in Koine Greek, and you total the letters up in Greek, because they have the same system of numbers connected to letters, it is 888. It is the number 8 times the prime, 111. The number of man is 6. So the most complete number for man is 666. The number for the Father is 7. 777, you can't make it bigger than that. God, 3 is the top. Like when you say holy, 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 I mean, it's in God's way of communicating. You know, if you double something where Jesus would say truly, truly, this means this is a big deal. Not just one truly, but two trulies. So if you do something a third time, it's a big deal. The angels before the throne of God are saying holy, holy, holy. You can't go past that. 777. So the new beginning of the Messiah, his name, his number is 888. So on the eighth day, that's the day you're going to do this. Now, they don't know this. They just know there's this vague promise of a Messiah. I mean, all this is really vague. You know, the Adam and Eve, there's just vagueness. But this keeps, because it's an ever, you know, revealing. The more time goes by, the prophets come on the scenes, different ones say things. We have Isaiah, you know, we have all these people saying things. It gets clearer and clearer until finally when the guys that go and meet Jesus come back and tell his brother, "I think we found the Messiah. You know, he fits the bill. He's got all the parts of what this is." But all of this is a story. A revealing story. How many of you ever wear a cross? Do you have a part of your, you know, that's something you do. Okay. Do you sleep in it? You could, or maybe you've got one tattooed. Maybe you've got something that's a symbol of your spiritual heritage, your spiritual journey, tattooed or something, or you are by the bed. In this case, God is saying, I'm going to give you a sign that you belong to me in contract to all the males. I'm marking you. I'm marking you as a people. Can you see that there's a separating out? Although Abram is now, he's changed his name. You're going to be the father of a multitude. I'm changing your name. I'm going to mark all the males. I'm going to give your ancestors every place you've walked. But right now, he doesn't own a single piece of property. It's going to be a long time. And then it's going to be a burial site when he gets his first piece of, that's the only thing he owns. It's when, I have to jump ahead to say this, so that when Sarah dies, he buys a plot of land to bury her in the promised land. Sarah is like a seed. She, you know, the two shall become one. Sarah is planted in the ground in the promised land. All these years later, on down the road, you and I are on a journey. None of us were born by accident. We're all part of a big story. Now, in their case, not like Americans. I don't know that we value heritage. Well, I shouldn't say that. Just my family, just my extended family. I don't think we ever really thought about that. I think currently with what's going on with this family tree stuff and that you can go online and you can look up here, I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, there's a lot of families are very good at keeping lineage. They hold on. They have their houses are full of painting, oil paintings. Patsy and I visited people in other families, and they have all these artifacts that go way back. They can tell you way back, hundreds and hundreds of years, where their people came from. It's important because it's only one storyline. There's just one storyline. If Abraham had been like living around here and grown like me, I would go, why is that such a big deal to you? Well, God took me outside and told me all these things and said I was going to have like all these children. Like, I go, well, okay, that's cool. Yeah, what'd you have for supper? Something. But this is a big deal. It's a big deal because you and I are eternal. We're not just atoms that go out to nothing. We have been born and raised exactly where we're supposed to be on the timeline of humanity. Exactly. No mistakes. No mistakes. Now, you may not know, even your whole life, at the very last day, you still go, what do you think it was about, Karen? You go, I don't know. It was a wild ride. You know, we can look back at history and look at people's places and where they fit in. And pivotal points of certain people in their lives, you know, it's like, ghost, you know, America, this person doing that right at that day, exactly then, or things would have been different. Okay, verse 15. And then God said to Abraham, father of a multitude now, not just a high father. As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarah. Now her name means quarrelsome. And I just like, you know, that name was not probably an accident. He loved her. He loves her still. She was a problem to live with. She was always empty. She was like all the women on Mother's Day who can't have children or never had children but want children. She's always hurting. Quarrel. I mean, yeah, there's just a little fractious probably at days and times, especially when there's somebody with a new baby nearby. You know, she's happy and sad all at the same time. She loves Ishmael, but he's not hers. She's happy for Abraham, but he's not hers. So God says, you're not going to call her quarrelsome anymore. You're going to call her Sarah, which means princess, which means mother of nations. And I think Abraham totally embraced these name changes. I think he probably didn't have any problem calling her Sarah from then on.
It's like he wants you to make sure you see what he sees in you. So I'm just going to change your whole name. I'm going to change who you are altogether.
And this was built on the night of going out looking at the stars and believing God. It's not like Zach and when the angel says, Elizabeth in her old age is going to have a child. And, you know, Zach kind of put up a little fuss, and, of course, he couldn't talk for 9 months. Yeah, he said, give me something to write on, or he pointed and he wrote, you know, what's his name going to be? And he went, John. And they went, well, you don't have any Johns, but as soon as he wrote John, his tongue was loosed. He's got 9 months of talking to make up for. Abraham and Sarah didn't have that problem. Verse 16, I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. I think Abraham by then was at least up on his knees, had gotten up off the ground, because it says, then Abraham fell on his face again. And this time when he falls on his face, he's laughing. And he laughs. And I think out loud. And then says in his heart this sentence. He says, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, bless him too. I want you to bless him. And God says, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name, he laughs, Isaac. Every time he heard his wife later say, Isaac, quit doing that. Come here. He laughs. He remembers this moment. This moment is burned into him. God wanted this to have something, a mark. He's marked all the boys. Every time you see one of the boys going out by one of the trees, you remember that, hey, he's part of our clan. Oh, yeah, God told him, like, yeah, we do this to every one of them when they're 8 days old. There's stuff. Abraham's name's been changed. He's told all of the ones that work for him, call me Abraham. Call my wife Sarah. They all knew what these words meant. They knew all these proper names, that these were name changes. You shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. You and I are the lineage of he laughs. We are of the house of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who is later named Israel. That's our lineage. That's who we are. It doesn't matter politically what tomorrow means, but tomorrow, the United States is going to take a little piece of property in Jerusalem and going to set up an embassy there, and it will be a piece of the United States of America in Jerusalem. It's part of the unfolding of history. None of this is happening by accident. You and I are living in times of stuff unfolding. It's been going on. It will not stop until Jesus steps on the Mount of Olives. It splits open. Water from the Mediterranean will go into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea will have life in it again. The Eastern Gate, which is sealed, will be opened, and the King of Kings will walk through it on this earth. And he will end Armageddon. He will end all of this. If you like the marriage scene from Lord of the Rings, the elfin girl who gives up being an elf, marrying the king of the humans, and you think that was a great looking scene out on the end of that rock, we've seen nothing yet when Jesus comes back. And then there's going to be one heck of a fire. Everything that holds all of the matter together in this universe is going to let go. And we will have a new heaven and a new earth. And this way it works right now won't be this way. And it's coming. Inch by inch, day by day, it is coming. Verse 20, and as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I heard what you want for your son. Behold, I'll bless him, and I'll make him fruitful, and he'll multiply him exceedingly, and he shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant, my arrangement, my contract will be established with Isaac, he laughs, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. Another year from now, and you're going to have another boy. And when he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham, and Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all were brought with his money, and every male among the men of Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God had said to him. You know, Abraham, boy, follow through on time. Verse 24, now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised of the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. The very same day Abraham was circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his household who were born into the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him, 13 years old. What have the Jews established at 13? What is it called? The coming of age of boys. Bar mitzvah. And girls? Bat mitzvah. And because there's Orthodox and different degrees, some of the girls are at age 12 and some of the girls are at age 13. But all the boys are 13 because of this. We have many things in our culture which are tied to heritage passed down. You and I are Gentiles. We are grafted on to the Jewish tree, but we are one people. This was given to me by David Long because he says, you need a guy's prayer shawl. You need a tallit that guys wear. I said, well, what did I have? He said, well, you actually had a girl's prayer shawl, and it's actually like a wedding one. Now, you know, I probably wouldn't put it on. You wear it around your waist, or you can pull it, and you make a tent. It's a portable tent, you know. You put it over your head. Wherever you're praying. And the knots are knotted in a way that they give names of God. So when the woman says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She's touching the names of God. And she was. Something handed down from the Jewish heritage that later, by the time Jesus was, you know, somewhere they started having portable tents of prayer. I just didn't have time to go look it up. In Romans chapter 4, verse 11, he says that Paul says circumcision is a seal of the righteousness of the faith. You know, in Galatians, it said that, you know, they got in this argument because Judaizers were coming saying, well, they're not really Christian if they're not circumcised and follow through all the Jewish stuff. And Paul says, no, let them, they came in as Gentiles. We're not cutting on anybody. You know, of course, then Paul gets kind of, he's getting feisty as he's getting older because he goes, oh, yeah, I wish that one of y'all would like have like a knife slip. That was a pretty feisty thing to say. We know what he was saying. He was really tired of them adding stuff to it. You know, you're saved by grace. It's a gift of God. It's nothing that you did. You didn't earn anything, you know. And we couldn't live by the law anyway as Jews. So happy Mother's Day, as our culture does. But you know, it's like Christian women . What is it like? It's like when the children go through the wardrobe and they go into Narnia. And they were children back home, and now when the Narnians meet them, pretty soon they're calling them High King Peter. They're kings and queens in Narnia. And as the story of the seven books come through, and you know, and they keep going back to Narnia at different times, stories have been made, and they have told over and over and over back in Narnia the stories of the high kings and queens. Your story will be kept forever. Because you were called by God as his child. Nothing you deserved, nothing that you could make happen. You were chosen. Like Abraham, like Sarah. You're chosen. May we live up to it. May we not be like someone who's walked away, like Paul had to say about one of the guys He's left the faith. Again, I was listening to Simon because I was working yesterday, and I don't even know when he was talking about one of his friends that was 60-something years old. He says this guy had walked with Jesus since he was 20 years old. He said, and when he turned about 60, he just decided he was going to walk away. And he did. And this was, I don't know how many years later, he says, he's never come back. He says, he's still alive. I hope he does. Encourage one another. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your heritage of your church. All of it. From Genesis 1 forward. We honor you today. We honor you, Lord Jesus. You deserve to sit at the right hand of the Father in the place of all authority. Holy Spirit, we honor you as the counselor, guide, teacher that's constantly with us. Thank you for your presence here with us now. Father, on this Lord's Day, this first day of a Jewish week, but it's kind of like it really is our first day, but we tend to think of it as the end, but really it's the first day of the week, this eighth day. This week, Lord, may each of us walk with you. Would you anoint us, fill us with your wisdom to be and do all that you have for us to be and do this week. May we bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.